Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds of the magazine. Round number one, NBA Top Shop, which is a highlight version of a digital trading card, has been taking the internet by storm. We're going to make some for the military, and we're ready to announce the top 10 military gift moments of all time. Round number two, nice pink salmon, sherry yellow butter, a bright orange. Well, it's all lies. Lies, I tell you. The government is controlling the color of our food, and there's nothing we could do. It's not actually that big of a deal, but we're going to tell you more in round two. Round number three. Is the F-35 officially a total piece of shit failure, or is it just too fancy for us now? A classic tale of military spending gone awry. That motherfucker's like a trillion-dollar program.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw that. Mm-hmm. I've been saying a million.
No.
I saw the number, and I was like, you know, in third grade where you're like hundreds, thousands, mm-hmm. millions, billions, trillions. I was going over. I was like, holy shit. Yeah. It's in the trillion category.
Yes.
This story's going to hurt. If you're a taxpayer, this story's going to hurt you a little bit, I got to say.
I think I read somewhere as well that if you spent all the money that they put on F-35, you could eliminate homelessness in America.
Yeah, that's sad when you figure out how you could appropriate the funds elsewhere and what could actually be productive for the country. That uh-huh. just makes you sad.
That's
yeah,
so
there was
many
one
cigarettes.
They were talking about the wall that they wanted to build would have paid for like 40,000 elementary school teachers.
So yeah.
That seems to be a little more important. Yeah. Round number four. Hey, dumb, dumb face. Kate wrote that. We've got some of the best military insults headed your way. Round number five. There was a sheep in Australia that rivals my pubes after I left Iraq.
And 78 pounds of pubes then. My goodness.
78 pounds of pubes. That's a lot of pubes.
That's a lot of pubes.
That's a lot.
I felt bad for this little fella when I saw him.
This little sheep?
Like walking around, yeah. It's like one of those people who has just been unkept, and then all of a sudden they take off their shoes and their toenails are yellow.
Oh, that's
stuff.
The worst. Mm-hmm. The worst.
Mm-hmm. I saw one. There was a lady. I forget what show I was watching, but it was this woman. I believe she was from Ireland, and she came into the podiatrist. And she was like, I haven't taken off my socks in, like, 4 years. And the lady was like, wait, like, ever? And she was like, no, like, I'll change them. But the moment that I take off my sock, I'll put another one on. She's like, I don't even go to take a shower without the sock on. And the lady, like, she was like, okay, well, she's like, I'm a doctor. This is going to be okay. We're going to get through it. She took it off. The level of ingrown toenail that this lady had on both of her big toes – made me, and I don't get sick for anything. I mean, I send you guys those dandruff videos with like a grub underneath and stuff.
Right.
None of that stuff bothers me. When she showed her toes, I was like, how does she even walk?
Mm.
How does she do it?
I don't know. That's gross and uncomfortable.
I took an improv class with a dentist in New York City who told me about a woman who, she's like, oh my God, this lady's teeth are so thick. Something's way wrong.
Oh, this is gross. You've told this. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lady had braces, but the braces were so covered. The braces were so covered in gunk that you couldn't even see the braces. And she's like, how long have you had these? She's like, I've had these on for like 15 years. Like, she just left them on and let them get covered in gunk and grime.
It's like one of those old malls that gets abandoned and gets overtaken by vines.
Yeah. Well, everybody has that person in their unit for the quick military tie-in. You know, we've all got
yeah, true.
Totally.
True. But this lady, they had to take her ingrown toenails off. Her toenails were so ingrown, it started to grow into her toe bone.
Like that's kind of fascinating.
It curved down, and it affected the shape. Kind of like that picture of that tree that I showed you guys at my new house where the tree is starting to envelop the fence.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the backside where the tree is growing into it. Or like you see some where a tree will have like a bike in the middle. It's kind of like that, but just with her toenail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's about. I don't know why I brought that up, but I do know why I'm bringing up Roman's wife, because my friends, if you want to last longer in bed after you remove 75 pounds of your pubes, you're going to need a Roman swipe. They're effective, they're easy to use, they're fast acting, and they don't require a prescription. Roman can send you swipes in a discreet unmarked package, and each swipe packet is small enough to hide in your wallet or wherever you're going to need it. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipe out, swipe it on that little dick of yours, or big dick. You might have a big dick, I don't know. Let it dry and you're good to go. That's it. Go to GetRoman.com/zero for your first month for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. I mean, that's cheap. You can't even get a Subway sandwich for that anymore.
No, you can't beat it. And
their $5 footlong's like $9.
Say you hear a story about toenails on a podcast and you having trouble getting hard after that.
No, who would get hard? No.
$5? $5 for your footlong?
This is all of our listeners are very horny. Maybe too horny.
$5.
No more jingle. We're not doing a Subway ad, Cons. What's wrong with you? We're doing Romans.
But speaking of Subway, if you're going down, you're going to want a Roman swipe on
I hear something I start saving.
Yeah, you don't want to be a sandwich artist. No. You want to be a dick artist and just slanging your mayonnaise all over her tuna roll.
Right. 100 or hits. Whatever.
Whatever you want to do. Yeah, just slinging yogurt all over the place.
For sure.
I got the coronavirus vaccine this week since the last time we recorded, and I've done government stuff my entire life. My dad was in the Navy. My stepdad was in the Navy. I've been involved in military medicine every single second from the day I was born. There has never been a time in my life where I haven't been on TRICARE. I am 38 years old. This is by far the most efficient government thing I have ever been a part of. It was insane, man. So I was kind of skeptical too, because the place that I got it done, it's one of those malls in a town where you look at it from the outside and you're like, that place was probably really nice 20 years ago. Yeah. But now if I go inside, I'm probably gonna get raped and murdered.
Yeah.
It was one of those types of malls.
Heebie-jeebies.
And I go in and I'm like, oh God, I could see why they rented this place out. It must have cost them like $5 for 6 months to rent out this mall. I walk in there. Everyone was so lovely, like everybody that was working there. I walk up and they're like, hey, sir, can I see your ID? I show them my ID. They go down this form. They're like, oh, yeah, your appointment's right here, right now. Go ahead, go in here, go check in. I go check in. It took like 2 seconds. There was nobody in line ahead of me. She's like, okay, you're all checked in. Just walk down these. They had everything mapped out on the floor, like Best Buy at Christmas, whenever they have all the tape on the floor of which way you go. I sat down in the chair. She's like, would you like it in your left arm or your right arm? I was like, I like it in my off arm, my left arm. I took off my hoodie. She gave me the shot. She put a Band-Aid on. She's like, go sit down here for 5 minutes in the observation area, then you can leave. I was in and out of that place in 10 minutes.
Whoa.
Like 10 minutes.
Pretty awesome.
And everybody was having that same experience. It's almost shocking when the government does something well.
Yeah.
That's because my parents went over the weekend and they had a 12:45 p.m. appointment for theirs. And this was like through the local government too. Well, they showed up and they're like, oh my God, the line. Because it was like, don't get out of your car until 5 minutes before. But there was a line wrapped all the way around the building and the block. Well, it turns out everyone had gotten a slip for a 12:45 appointment.
Oh, no.
They had screwed it up.
So your experience was very different. So maybe it's not nationwide.
No. So maybe I think it depends on your local government and like how, I don't know. I have no idea. But, well, yours was through TRICARE, like through military stuff, right? Or it was through?
No. It was through the health system here in San Antonio. So they had like a meeting of the minds, I guess. And I got to go because I have diagnosed asthma and then the issues from like the burn pits and stuff.
Yeah.
I've had pneumonia shit ton of times. So yeah. I got to go. They gave me the call. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go. I'm not going to turn down the fucking appointment.
Right.
So I go in there and it was super easy. But even at the VA here, they sent out a notice. I think they got 50,000 vaccines for veterans here. And they sent out a notice to all of our emails. They're like, hey, if you're a veteran, you haven't got it yet, you want to come get it, we don't have appointments. Just show up this weekend. So they had a mass thing this weekend where they vaccinated, like, I think it was 45,000 veterans.
Wow.
In the
San Antonio.
That's fantastic. And the best part, chaps, was that there was no, hey, look at me, I got a vaccine. There was no social media post because the people who were posting that on social media – kind of
disgusting.
Annoying. Kind of annoying. Yeah. I don't care.
I'll never talk about it in public. I made that proclamation as soon as I left. But I do want to give the listener, because some people have been nervous about how you felt. I'll be honest. The first day that I got it, I felt like shit.
Yeah.
Like I
really
did. Like, not like I have the flu or anything like that, but I was just really, really tired. Yesterday, I was really tired as well. Then I had a big meal last night, and now I'm feeling back.
Yeah, but also, so like earlier in the week, you were coming off and or were still sick. So I wonder how, if that affected it at all, because you went in getting the shot sick.
Yeah, because I went into it not feeling great.
Right.
But I'm glad that I got it. It was a nice thing to have. I hope everybody gets it so we can fucking get back to regular life. I was thinking, I haven't been to New York in a year.
Well, I can't remember the last time you were here.
I know. Mm-hmm. Get up
here. I'm ready to pick up traveling and all that jazz again, because I want to be in the office when we talk about things that are taking over the internet, such as what we're going to talk about in round number one. Because this NBA Top Shot thing.
Can somebody break this down Barney style for me?
Yes, I'll try to. So when this is one of the things that you look at these stories like this, and it's one of those moments where I realize I am getting older because you read these stories and you're seeing like a LeBron James highlight that people can trade back and forth. One of them is going for $200,000. Now, me, Cons, and Kyle, and you too, Kate, whenever we were growing up, it was not really the height of baseball trading cards, but it was still a big thing.
No.
Like people had baseball cards.
Yeah, I definitely had baseball cards growing up. I would say maybe a little more prevalent for everyone our age range were the Pogs, and you traded those.
Yeah, Pogs was a big deal.
Yeah.
But you did have – I mean, almost every kid that I knew had like a binder that had those
– Yeah, my brother
the clear sheets that had baseball cards in it. And you could trade them back and forth. And then I would hear when I was younger, you're like, oh, you could buy the Onis Wagner card. It's going to be $1.2 million. And even at that time, I was like, $1.2 million? You got to be a fucking psychopath to pay $1.2 million for a piece of memorabilia. Well, now they have digital trading cards, which is what this is, essentially, where a nice highlight of LeBron James is going for $200,000.
So essentially,
so you own
like
the
a-
rights to this highlight.
It's like a GIF almost. Like, so you're almost like buying like a GIF of him doing something awesome.
Yes.
Right. And you can trade them back and forth and do all these different types of things. I still don't really understand it, but I guess if they only let you have a certain amount and you have it like in your wallet or whatever that you can share, I guess I could see it going for a lot. It's the same thing with Pokemon, dude. Like McCartney is super into Pokemon, and I'm trying to figure out like these cards. I'll go onto eBay looking for a card that they'll tell me. This thing will be like $50. I'm like, I'm not paying $50 for a fucking Pokemon card. Like, that's not happening. Like, you're not going to get that.
I guess that the one benefit that I'm reading here of owning a digital collectible versus a physical one. So these are like digital collectibles. And people are doing it with real estate, sneaker, like digital sneakers, like digital icons, stuff like that. So they're doing it with these. Is that each one contains distinguishable info that makes it easily verifiable. Whereas you could have fake baseball cards and this and that. These are like, it's really, really hard to fake them. So if you do buy it, it's pretty certain that you're going to get the value for it somehow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, but it's weird because I, you know, number one, are any of you memorabilia, sports memorabilia nuts?
No, not at all.
Me neither. And, you know, to each their own, I go to people's homes and they have all sorts of cool stuff to look at. I like that. It's like a museum.
Same thing, autograph. There might be three people in the world I would care about their
autograph. There you go. Kyle's got a Pete Rose autograph. Got it.
That's cool.
Likes cheaters.
But there's nowhere other than, from what I understand, on the internet, to display that you have these collectibles. So I don't know if I fully understand what you're gaining from owning these, other than maybe you're trying to make profit by trading them.
Yeah, I don't know either. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but whatever. I mean, I guess that's the way shit goes, where you have – my mom definitely didn't understand the POG thing when I was like, I got to get this slammer. I got to get this and that. And they were expensive, man.
Yeah.
Like, you get some POGs and slammers and stuff, and they're expensive. I think every generation has their thing that they collect or they like that the other people don't care about. Comic books, the same thing. Like comic books, how many times are you going to read a comic book? And then you have the most valuable comic books are comic books that you don't ever read or open? Like, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you want to buy something and never read it?
Yeah, just to have
basically,
it. Same thing with like figurines, though, like that stay in the packaging, be it from – Star Wars or
can you
Marvel.
Imagine how much money it would be worth if you had an original My Buddy?
Oh, gosh. Wow. Yeah. Huge. Huge dollar sign.
My Buddy or the American Girl dolls that Kate has. How many American Girl dolls do you have again, Kate?
Oh, thousands. The whole apartment's covered in them.
Oh, you know what? Alex, when she was younger, Alex, she was in on the Beanie Baby craze. They would drive to all different places to get the Beanie Babies and what have you. And then I think they might still have them, but that never panned out.
That was one of my favorite things that Nick from Anus at Barstool did, where he had one of the most valuable Beanie Babies.
The Princess Diana.
He went live on Periscope and cut the tags.
And people were like, no. Well, so we're talking about this as if you can own a GIF and you can buy and trade GIFs. What would be the top 10 military GIFs that you would want to own or have, or what do we think would be the most valuable ones? So we have a top 10 list here if we want to go down that.
Can we do it David Letterman style?
Absolutely.
But not like where we're going to be mean to Lindsay Lohan. Did you see that clip going around?
Jesus, yeah. Oh, my God. And,
that
and Britney
clip.
Spears. And
it made me – the Lindsay Lohan – I didn't see the Britney Spears one, but the Lindsay Lohan one was brutal.
It was almost like he was – he absolutely was making fun of her to her face, but he ended it well. I thought, like, he genuinely
she was clearly in a time of her life where she was going through drug addiction and things like that. He's like, so you're like a dick, and it was just making fun of addiction. You could never
not. We watch The Parent Trap a lot in my house. Shout out,
movie's fantastic.
It's amazing. Shout out Nancy Myers.
And the skill to play two characters
yes.
at the same time.
So at that age, to play two different personalities, essentially, you would have thought she was going to be the next Audrey Hepburn, the next whomever.
Drew Barrymore,
right. And the fall from grace that she had, just such a shame. Sorry.
And before we get into the top 10 guests, I also, since we said Drew Barrymore, anytime that clip of the little boy who was also in E.T., where he does his audition tape and he like cries during the audition tape, I'm always blown away by that. I'm like, this motherfucker can act his little dick off, and he's like 7.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I would want that kid as my kid because he's probably a little liar. Because you believe everything that he says, little bastard.
Top 10 military gifts. I'm sitting here dying inside. I'm like, how many caveats are we gonna?
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Shut me. I was just gonna piggyback off that.
I'm like the host of the show, and Kate is the one that's forced to like guide it behind my back.
Yeah, we will always get texts. I'm surprised we didn't get one just now, but Kate will be like, "Next topic? Question mark?" While Chaps and I are going on and on and on, and we don't care.
Yeah. All right, so top 10 military gifts of all time. We'll just rotate through these. Number 10. Obviously, number 10 is going to be, I would love to have a gift of when Osama bin Laden got shot in the face thrice. I would like to have that one in the old back pocket.
I mean, that would be incredibly valuable. Like, people would pay a ton of money just to catch a glimpse at that for a second.
I mean, you're at the bar, you're having some drinks with some pals, and you're like, hey, you want to see some cool shit? Check this out.
Yeah.
I wonder if a friend of the show, Rob, I wonder if he has any, like, helmet cam footage of that. That's classified.
I would bet it would be out by now.
You think so? Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, he stole everything else. Especially with all the different, like, people saying, you're not the one that did it. It was somebody else that did it. If somebody had that footage, it'd be out.
Yeah. All right. I'd pay to see that.
Well, let's move away from the morbid for number 9. What's number 9?
Number 9 is Hitler killing himself. But I had a caveat when Kate and I were texting about this last night. I would like this one to be altered a little bit, where it's Hitler killing himself and then having nasty green diarrhea fill his pants.
Okay.
Like, where he could see it. Like, he pissed and shit himself and then killed himself. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Hitler's one of the only people that you can say them killing themselves is hilarious.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I wouldn't mind watching the fretful moments leading
without
up to
repercussion.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody cares if Hitler kills themselves.
Bit of a shift for number 8.
Number 8 would be Okinawa Banana Lady. Like, and I, are we going to go, do you have not suitable for work ones? Like, is it going to be the banana dropping from her vagina into some PFC's mouth?
Oh,
yes,
no.
Because this is, I'll say it, this is, you're paying big money for these gifts, for these online digital gifts.
True.
And so we're all adults. So,
but bear in mind that it happens in Japan, and in Japan pornography, you have to blur the vulvas.
The vulva will be blurred for sure. Yeah, okay. Sorry, you're gonna have to imagine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She's got a huge clit though, so that's a lot of blurring.
Yeah.
Number seven. What's number seven, Kate?
Chesty Puller getting his head shaved at boot camp. Just a fun little reminder that even the best of us are like the rest of us in some ways.
I'm gonna say that one sucks. That's terrible.
You suck.
That was chaps.
Of course it was.
I like that one. Of course it was. It's a nostalgic pick. And you know, you don't have that. It's like one of those moments where you go back. You would very much like to have the one where Peyton Manning throws his first game-winning touchdown as a high school quarterback, right?
Possibly. That's cooler, though.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Then Chesty getting his head shaved.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
What? Okay, well, let's switch it up where it's Army, and we have Audie Murphy.
Audie Murphy, Ike. I don't care. Like, I just getting their head shaved is, I don't think that's great of a gift.
What about Opha May's first hair bun? You know, don't you want to see it?
She's just like looking at herself in the mirror, squinting, cursing herself with this freaking hair.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Well, I would pay big bucks for that.
Now she'd be able to have a ponytail if she was in the Air Force.
True. Absolutely.
I saw it for the first time in action last week.
Oh, the ponytails in the, yeah.
Threw me off big time.
It threw me off too. I'm not going to lie. It's going to take a little getting used to, but I'm glad for it.
Have you ever ran behind a woman with a ponytail? It's somewhat hypnotizing as it bounces back and forth.
But then once you catch them and you get them on the ground. Sorry.
Jesus.
Whoa. See, I thought that I took it too far.
Yeah, really.
And you're doing.
Ooh. That was Murder Cons. That's my impression of Murder Cons.
Okay.
You know when you're running behind a woman and her hair is.
It's kind of like the same thing, I guess, as whenever you're on like a night hump and you aren't supposed to look at the glow stick that's on somebody's backpack because it could make you pass the fuck out.
Again, I say, when I was an ultra server, I had very long hair and I would put my ponytail way at the top of my head. And when I walked down the aisle, I would sway it and try and get it to do a full 360 as I walked down the aisle in church.
Whoa.
Number
six, Kate, what's number six?
Number six is Brutus stabbing Caesar in the back. Aren't you
curious?
That's
a good one. That's a
Aren't
real
good
one. Are you curious? Yes.
How deep it went in?
Yeah. Where? Like, where? Really?
Was it like, was it a kidney? Was it more, upper shoulder area? I don't know.
And then,
yeah, because back then, think about it. They didn't know anatomy.
Right.
Right.
So now we would know, like, stab somebody in the heart, stab somebody in the kidney, where a spot where they're going to bleed out and die. Mm-hmm. I think they just thought everything was the same.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, if, like, Caesar turned around and made eye contact and was like, no, like, why?
How dare
Or if there was any sort of struggle.
Right. Mm-hmm. I want to know. I would pay big bucks for that moment.
Okay.
Number five.
Or if there was anybody real creepy in the background because they were wearing, like, those togas. Like, did anybody get a murder boner?
Exactly. Did anybody get into it? Right. You could see right through. Number five, George Washington crossing the Delaware flag flutter. Just a quick gif of the actual moment and the flag just kind of fluttering.
Would you rather have that one or George giving a speech and his teeth falling out?
Ooh. The teeth. Probably the teeth falling
definitely
out.
Everybody views him as like this super stoic 6'4" like mammoth of a man that's the general in charge of leaving Great Britain. It takes a little bit off your luster when your teeth are falling out of your grip.
But again, it's also a reminder, hey, look, even normies can do great things. Like I got a snaggle tooth. I could still do something cool with my life, maybe.
You could still cross the Delaware.
I could still. Mm-hmm. I live near the Delaware now, sort of. Closer. Yeah,
close enough.
Number four, we're going to have Lee signing the surrender at the Appomattox Courthouse.
That's a
and
good
I
one.
Just hope, and I'm picturing in the background a bunch of Yankees being like, oh, shit, oh, shit.
Oh, where it's like that one gif where they're like,
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for that one there.
Uh-huh.
Number three,
Kate.
A PFC grinding with a general's wife at some sort of military ball.
Mm.
You just love to see it. It's fun to pull out of your pocket and say, hey, check this one out, LOL. Good, easy laugh. Number two, the flag raising on Iwo Jima. I mean, the footage is out there, but to be the one who's like, no, I own
this. That you
this.
Own it, that nobody else could. Because think about all those, the trademark infringement and all that. You'd be getting paid.
And then number one, I think we can all agree, and I don't think we give it enough shine on Zero Blog 30. This one will actually come with audio, so it makes it extra, extra valuable. So let's play it, if you could. I would pay at least, I'd say $1.2 million if I had it for this one.
Oh, yeah, it's the onus wagger of military gifts.
Yeah, let's play it.
Hoorah, fellow Devil Dogs. It is a super motivating Monday, and we are here in North Carolina, where it is raining, and we are embracing the suck. Aren't we just embracing the suck? Aye, sir, good morning, gentlemen. That is, if you need some motivation today, you go find your fellow Marine, and he will motivate you. Have a good day.
That's what, I haven't heard that in ages. Seriously.
Right. It's been a while. Yeah. I feel motivated when I hear it, for sure. So those are the top 10. So then I wanted to ask you guys, from your personal lives, if you could go back through, and there are gifts for sale. Also, one that we left off was famous people in the military back in time when they had to do their duck walks at MEPS. Mm. So, like,
yeah, H.W. Bush doing a duck walk would be great.
Right. Having that footage on your hands would be fabulous. But I asked you guys to give me three gifts from your personal life, from moments in your personal life that you wish you could still have and pull up on your phone and show. So, Chaps?
Mine would be... So are we going to go 3-3-3-2-2, or are we going to do like a snake draft type, or go all in a row?
I say all in a row. Let's rip these. Okay. Let's rip them off.
All right. So number three, I drop McCartney off at school all the time, and I have since they were in kindergarten. And each day, the Tahoe door or my truck door will open. McCartney hops out. Bye, Dad. Love you. And like does like a like blows me kisses.
Yeah.
As soon as their feet hit the ground, they sprint to the door, like to the school door, every single time. And the backpack like goes up and down and up and down. I would love to have that memory for the rest of my life in my back pocket. That would be great. Number two, Kelsey was the worst soccer player. Just absolutely horrendous. And would run along the side of the player with the ball, like not try to get it, not try to call for a pass, but just like run along the side of the person. Defense or offense, that was their mission, just running along the side with the person with the ball. But then in her very last game of her third season, she scored a goal, and it was her first like real shot on goal, and it was good. Like it wasn't just like a trickle in. She kicked it with power, and it went into the net. And I was so happy I cried on the field.
Aww.
Like I like ran out onto the field, gave him a big hug. Then they scored again on the next time down. It was two goals in a row. And we like the whole family was just going ballistic on the sideline. And Kelsey had the biggest smile I've ever seen. It was amazing. So I'd want to have that moment forever. And then number one would be the first time I ever ripped a rope of cum. Because I was so surprised about what was going on. I had no idea what was happening with my body, but I knew that it was sick.
It would just be a close-up of your face.
Yeah.
All right. Those are three very precious moments. Cons? Yeah.
All right. Number three. It had to have been sometime in college, maybe right after college. But the last time I dunked a basketball. Just because I feel like that's a mark of a pretty good athlete or a very athletic feat.
I can see you sitting at the bar being like, hey, check this out. It's just you dunking a basketball.
No, I mean, maybe just to hopefully show, you know, my children one day, hey, look what I used to be able to do.
Yeah.
Number two, I think I've mentioned it, but if anyone forgets. So I was in musicals in addition to playing sports in high school. And one of the musicals during one of the dance numbers, I did the Swayze lift from Dirty Dancing.
Whoa.
And I have it on VHS, but it's like all like grainy. You can't even see it. So if I could have that, because
you want like a 4K version of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would love a 4K version of me doing that Swayze lift. Because also,
Cons is at the bar. He's like, put these 3D goggles on real quick. I want to show you something.
Also, I did it 12 live shows in a row. Never dropped. So
whoa.
I don't know if Swayze can say that. And then
not now.
No, not anymore. Lastly, I think it was the first time I went to visit my battle buddy Rob out in Utah to snowboard, and we had stayed up till like 4 or 5 the night before drinking. So when we got to the mountain, safe to say we were still somewhat intoxicated. And I remember going off a giant ledge. It was probably like a 10-foot drop, and I landed it, but right at the bottom, I clipped a tree branch. And I went backwards, and I backflipped like 3-4 times. So just, I think that'd be hysterical just to look at me just eating it on a snowboard and tumbling down the mountain.
Whoa, mm-hmm. I like those. Those are good. Kyle?
I have to say my kids being born, because in the moment, like, there's so much going on. And it just, it kind of just passes you by. And
yeah.
You're, I don't know, maybe my brain's broken, but I don't remember a whole lot about it, which is weird. So that would be kind of
super stressful, yeah.
Yeah, like you just don't know what's going on, and there's people everywhere, and you'll see it soon, Kate, and for you.
Yeah. I'll send you some close-up footage. You can pretend it's your own.
Well, you should live tweet it.
But, yeah. And I think it is different, Kyle, like for guys like us at the time where you were like in the military or used to being like a go-getter and making shit happen. And in that moment, when you're the dad in the room, you're not giving birth. Yeah, you're not helping. You're just fucking standing, and you're just trying not to be in the way, but being close enough where you're being supportive.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to, because there's nurses, doctors everywhere, all over the place. They all have a mission, and you're just like,
What is your mission in the delivery room?
I could be in a different state and nothing here would change.
What is that weird as a dad?
Yeah, just being supportive. I love you, honey. You're doing
that's
it right.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
Is that weird to stand there and be like, all that's happening? You're like, I did this. this is my fault.
You're like, oh, man, that looks like it hurts.
Yeah. Like, better you than me.
Yeah. Well,
what's that fluid? That's weird.
Does it tickle?
I had a good
no.
Time. Why does that look like Jell-O? That's a mucus plug.
All right. So then number two is on my eighth birthday, went to a Cardinals game, and Gary Gaetti was up to the plate. Huge star. Everyone knows who Gary Gaetti is.
Longtime Stoolie.
Yeah,
Big time Stoolie. He used to do the Gary Gaetti hometown spaghetti night, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you know that. That's incredible. Yeah, uh-huh. And
wait, that's a real thing?
Bases...
No.
But bases were loaded. We started chanting his name, and he jacked a home run over the left field wall. Grand slam. It was, I felt like I did that. Because it was my birthday, and I was yelling his name. And I'm sure he heard me from the $4 seats that we had at the very top of Busch Stadium. But that was pretty cool. So I'd like to see that. And then the Cardinals winning the World Series, Game 7 against the Texas Rangers in 2011. I was in Manas, Kyrgyzstan on my way to Afghanistan in one of the chow hall tents because they had AFN. I woke up super early. I was still really jet lagged, but it was just really awesome to see the Cardinals win the World Series. And
That's awesome.
It was like a good start to the deployment there. Mm-hmm. I got to go out on a high note because I might have killed myself if they lost to the Texas Rangers. Because mm-hmm. There was a kid there, I won't say his name because he sucked, but he was a Rangers fan. And yeah. Nolan Ryan came up on the TV and we're like, hey, you know, what's your name? Who's that? And he had no fucking clue. So I just berated him for the rest of the deployment.
As well you should, if you don't know who Nolan Ryan is.
But yeah, I think that'd be
cool. I also have a memory from that game, too. I was on duty at Lackland. I was the staff NCOIC at Lackland. And when I had some junior Marines that were there, like all the canine handlers lived in the barracks. And there was two kids that were from the St. Louis area. They're Cardinals fans. There was like five of them that were Texas Rangers fans. And their curfew, normally they had to be in Iraq by 2200. Well, the games obviously go a lot later than that. And they were like, Staff Sergeant, can we watch the games? Because they didn't have – you couldn't watch it on your phone. You couldn't do any of that stuff. I was like, sure, but you have to do it in complete silence. So they're sitting there watching Game 7, and if they even like grunted, they'll be like, shut the fuck up from the duty desk. And they're like, oh,
that's torturous to watch a game and not be able to react. That's torturous.
That was Game 6 was definitely better than Game 7, but Game 7 was great.
I really appreciate your love for the St. Louis Cardinals, and I'm not saying that in jest. I genuinely mean that. Your love for the Cardinals is to be
You know what else? So I got to say this. Before I deployed, I got a tattoo, and I got the St. Louis Cardinals logo tattoo, and this was right before they made a big run in the World Series. So, again, I feel like I did that.
You were ahead of the time.
I petitioned for a ring. I haven't heard back. I'm hoping one day they pull their heads out of their ass, and I get a nice 2011 ring because I did that.
I got a Shamrock Tramp stamp right before St. Patrick's Day got cool. So
thank you.
It's one of those things.
Thank you, Kate.
Head of the curve.
All right, Kate, what's your three?
Number three, the first time I gave a hand job at church camp, And it was a squeezer. It was a, I didn't know.
The old South Carolina squeezer.
I didn't know you're supposed to go up and down. I just squeezed it like an udder. And I just wish, I don't want to see that part, but I just like it to be on his face because I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at what I was doing, which was squeezing. I would love to see what.
Treating it like a go-gurt.
I didn't care what he, like, I just wish I could see what his face was. Yeah, like a go-gurt.
Probably ruined that guy.
Yeah, nothing but no yogurt. That was. Number two, very first day of work at Comedy Central, I was so nervous and I had to go into my boss's office to update something on the wall calendar for her and she wasn't in there and I had been having trouble pooping that week and I felt so sick. So I had taken Philips stool softener the night before and nothing happened. So I was like, oh my God. So
I like how you felt like you needed to say exactly which type of stool softener.
It was Philips.
You couldn't just go with like a generic brand. Like it was the name brand guy. Don't worry about it.
Promo code ZBT. But I remember because now I avoid it. Now I'm a Dulcolax girl. Okay. Anyway, but I took this the night before. Nothing happened. I'm in her office. She's out to lunch. And I'm like, well, if you have to fart in this quiet office, like it's closed off, like do it in here. So I just stand there by the whiteboard for a second and I go to push out a fart. I shit my pants, and I was wearing khakis that day. It was like water. It was like brown water. It just came spraying out of my ass into my pants on my first day of work. And that moment where it hit me immediately, just the shock. I wish I could just have that moment in a GIF. And then, yeah.
Wait, no. We're not
we gotta dissect this one.
Where did you go?
So then I like sidewalled it to the handicap bathroom. I took off my underwear and I had to take off my shoes, my socks. I had to take off my khakis and my underwear.
You're like an infant.
This is gross, but I like wash.
You had a blowout.
I washed the butt of the in the sink. I threw out the underwear. I washed the butt of the khakis in the sink as best I could, and then I used the hand dryer and towel.
That's smart. Yeah. That's adapting and overcoming. I like that.
Yeah,
that's
some, thank you.
I want to know why you decided to take stool softener the night before your first day of work.
Because because when I can't poop, like it ruins everything. Like you guys have seen what a mess I've been throughout this break. I text you guys every time I poop. I'm like, great day today, took a poop. So it really fucks my world up.
And I know this one was about Comedy Central, but we all know, like any of your first day jobs.
So stressful. That,
you could put that on there. Even your first day at Barstool when you walked off the elevator.
Yeah, wearing Cole's outfit. Anyway, number one, getting to the top of, I did this hike in the White Mountains by myself. And when I came up above the tree line and I did like a big swirl, like I was in the Sound of Music. And it was really beautiful. And I just kind of wish I had that. Just to be like, look, kids, I used to be mobile before I got fat and had you.
Where are the White Mountains?
Up in New Hampshire. The Franconia Loop. So, yeah, just a cool, like, hey, look, mom used to be active. Used to be.
I picture you, like, on the top of the mountain, like Rocky and Rocky IV when he's just screaming Drago.
Well, I felt like such a badass, and then this group of nuns went by, and then this group of, like, people drinking beer, and I was like, oh, I guess this wasn't as hard as I thought.
Well, they were probably not, like, they were probably checking you out because you were wearing your bare-bottom pants. Bare-bottom clothing is the go-to for the most versatile, comfortable, and wearable everyday clothing for men and women. With a rapidly growing cult following of over 100,000 customers and countless five-star reviews, you know you're getting quality everyday threads for a fraction of what you would have to spend with the other guys. Bare bottom zero shave stretch swim trunks feature a quick, oh man, I hope I get some of those bad boys with my new pool. I'll be looking fucking good there with a little stretch thing. Woo! And their wildly versatile volley short swim hybrid is the go-to for trips on the land or the sea. They're built for value. You get a great, comfortable, made-to-last swim trunk, shorts, and tees that won't break the bank. They also have those joggers, which I love to wear. Thousands of guys have made Bare Bottom the MVP of their closet and keep coming back for more. They're designed to transition from the couch to the gym, to work, to play, whatever you like to do. And they only make threads that you'll love to wear all day long. While Bare Bottom typically donates shorts to children in need, through their One For You, One For Them program, they are switching it up for a limited time. Bare Bottom will donate a protective mask to a first responder, teacher, or someone in need for each item purchased. Right now, our listeners get free shipping on their first order of these super comfortable threads at Bare Bottom Clothing. With code zero, just go to barebottomclothing.com. That's B-E-A-R, like the animal, bottomclothing.com, and use promo code zero to get free shipping on your first order. Let's move on to round number two. I just gotta say, lately, I've been crushing athlete Round number two. This one is about government controlling the color of our food. You know, this isn't a problem in Europe. They're not allowed to do it at all.
No.
In Europe's food programs are way more strict than ours.
Here, it's every man for himself. People, they're
even in China, they're like, get your pork out of here. It doesn't meet our standard. I'm like, really?
Whoa. Yeah, no, here.
Have you guys seen your open markets? You have, like, fucking fish heads and shit.
There's even a virus, apparently, that came from a...
But it's not from a bat.
No, definitely not from a bat. Well, the culture of dying foods in America, though, we like things to look good. That's why you can't blame us. We like to look fucking good. We want our oranges orange. We want our pickles green.
Well, they always say...
How weird is it, though, that you... They add, like, a red dye to beef.
Yeah.
To make it look more bloody.
Oh, it's crazy, the stuff that they do. So the culture of dying foods, can you guess what food it started with here in America?
Oh, I love this game. I'm going to say... Fuck. I'd probably say steak.
No, it's butter.
Oh,
butter.
Yeah, it's butter. So in the 1860s, butter was a hot patootins, as it always has been, okay? Mm-hmm. But it was expensive and perishable, so they were looking for an alternative for the poors. Like, hey, the poors want butter, too. So they found a blend of animal fat, milk, and salt that could stand up against butter, but it was cheap as shit, took way longer to spoil. We're talking about margarine, my friends, okay? But it looked like lard. You know what lard looks like? It's like this clear jelly almost.
Yeah.
So even the pores were like, we don't want to put this on our toast, like make it a little better. So manufacturers started to dye it yellow and make it look like butter. So people would say, what? I can't believe it's not butter. It looks just like it. Wow. Right. It's margarine. Yeah. So Big Butter, though.
Even Fabio said that.
Big Butter was getting pissed at Big Margarine for coming in and stealing all their sales with their fake yellow ass fake butter. So they went to Big Butter, goes to D.C. and is like, the Big Butter lobby, still a big deal. It's like, hey, help us out here. Margarine's fucking killing us, bro. So the government was like, fine, we'll put a tax, a 2-cent tax on a pound of margarine. And it's one of the first recorded instances of American business using government intervention to stop their competition. So that's a butter. I just thought that was interesting. Well, anyway, butter wasn't done. They're like, fuck margarine. We're gonna take them out. They're pushing for more regulations, blah, blah, blah. Suddenly, 10 cents per pound tax on margarine. And margarine's like, we're fucking dying here. What the hell are we going to do? So they start selling margarine color-free again to get rid of the tax. But they also started selling a kit attached to the margarine where people could dye it yellow at home. So, like, they still knew they were buying, like, garbage lard, but it made them feel better to, even if they dyed it themselves, to just see that it looked better, to just see that it looked yellow. So some of these days... Microwave popcorn, yogurt, chewing gum, fish like salmon. Fish is a huge one because it gets caught, for example, like it gets caught in Alaska. Then it goes to Asia to be chopped up and whatever. Then it goes back to Alaska and then it's sent to the States and it's in sushi bars. By the time it gets there, it ain't the same color it was when you first chopped into it. So they inject it with like pink dye. Like most of the fish you see, probably not that color that you thought it was when you buy it in a restaurant. So...
Whoa.
I know. Pretty interesting. Wheat bread, you're buying that pretty caramel colored wheat bread at the grocery store that you think is so healthy. Guess what? That caramel color on it, it's dye. It's usually just, it looks like white bread like everybody else, but they dye it caramel. Same with granola bars. You're like, oh, look at this.
Peanut butter, I bet. Because if you smash up peanuts, that's not what it looks like.
True.
No. They say salad dressings. So like pretty much almost everything that we eat that we're like, oh, look how healthy this looks, blah, blah, blah. It's dyed to look that way. So we do it with pickles, apples, oranges, blueberries, all sorts of shit. So ever since...
Can I ask you a question?
What?
When you did this round, were you really hungry?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Just thinking about food going through, like, whoa, I want some salmon, but I don't know if this dye is good for the baby.
I'm sorry. This round makes me think Kate is just sitting there with a stick of butter with a spoon and just going to town.
I mean,
I don't think I ever voluntarily put butter on anything.
Oh,
I use it to cook, but I can't remember a time where I put it on like bread or toast or anything. I don't ever.
You ever hear the story about how Chris Farley, when he was out to dinner, he would, you know, those little like singular butter packets?
Yeah.
He would take those and he would put that on every bite of his steak and bread. So every bite had an entire stick of that individually wrapped butter.
Holy shit.
Ooh, wonder why I died.
Popping butter balls, doing all that stuff. Well, so let me tell you, growing up, my grandma, at my grandma's house, she always kept a thing of butter out 24 yes. hours a day.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those, like, it's got to be refrigerated. But I've started doing that recently. I use 10 times more butter than I used to. I put that shit on. Now that it's so easily soft and ready, oh, my God. I'm putting...
Do you have a dish?
I put it on the counter. I just, like, let the stick...
Like, I didn't know if you put it on, like, a paper plate or something.
Oh, no. I have, like, an actual little butter dish that I keep next to my toaster. My toast consumption has gone up. I put butter on fucking everything now that butter's sitting out in front of me. Bad news. Bad news.
Where are we at as far as eating frozen foods almost exclusively?
I can't stop. My mouth is killing me. I have like a constant headache from chewing on. It's frozen. I have this huge bag of frozen pears, frozen pineapples. I've been putting my yogurts in the freezer, like hold on yogurts, and then I squeeze them out of the thing and I chew on them. I'm eating ice 24/7. I can't stop. It's terrible.
Yeah,
pickles. That's the newest.
Pickles? Frozen pickles?
I'm telling you, give it a whirl. Grapes, everything.
Frozen grapes. I've been doing frozen grapes for years and years. That's a great one. Never
celery.
Frozen pickles, though.
I've even done celery. The way it crunches when you put it in your mouth is like a frozen little stick of ice.
But see, yeah, like celery, because of the liquid or the water on it, I would think like that would just be eating ice, basically.
That's all I want. People say it's because I'm probably anemic now, but I don't care. I'm not stopping. It's delicious. Anyway, that was a weird round about food coloring, but I just thought it was interesting. I saw Cheddar is the website that put out a neat little video about that the other day, and I was like, I didn't know we dyed. I'm a big idiot. I didn't realize like all that colorful, pretty food we see in the grocery store, it's not like real. It's like dyed.
Dude, I love those type of documentaries where if there used to be on like PBS, they would have these type of shows all the time. Now they have it on Netflix where it's like how things are made or whatever. But when... PBS used to have a show where they would go to like a chocolate factory.
Oh, yeah.
And they would have like the Almond Joys that were going through the conveyor belt and they wouldn't be covered with chocolate. And then you see it go through. Those are the original satisfying videos from Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Where you see like people cutting up soap or doing whatever. It's so satisfying to watch a chocolate bar go underneath the chocolate fountain and be covered. I would love to do that to myself.
Oh.
Like if you could put me on that conveyor belt and like, let's say, because you know, when you're drunk, let's say you've had 5 glasses of red wine and you want like a nice little snack to end your night on. If you were like, okay, I'm going to put you through a chocolate conveyor belt and you just open your mouth and we're just going to cover you with chocolate. Oh, man, I would love to do that. Because imagine how warm it would be.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, engrossing yourself in that.
My whole body, yeah.
As much as I think I would love that, I will say 2 years ago when I was in Italy, I ordered a hot chocolate at some cafe, and it came out, and it was basically just thick, melted chocolate that was hot.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't that great.
Oh, no, you're
so
wrong.
Yeah, you don't want to drink it
yeah.
like that, I don't think. I think it's different if you're expecting it to be melted chocolate. But when you're expecting it to be hot chocolate, you want
right.
some of the milk quality.
Right, yeah.
There.
So maybe that's what it was.
Agree to disagree.
That's essentially the premise of my favorite childhood book, The Chocolate Touch.
Mm. I had never heard of that book prior to you two saying it, FYI.
I might do that one day. I'll just do an audiobook of The Chocolate Touch. I think people would really enjoy that.
By the way, yeah. Chocolate and vanilla gets dyed too. Even vanilla ice cream gets dyed with a white thing so that it looks whiter. So.
Oh, not bleached.
No, not bleached.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bleached buttholes,
indeed.
If you want to get at your butthole, use Manscaped because they are there to provide the best tools for your grooming experience. Offer precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer is the best hygiene tool for the modern man because their ceramic blade and advanced knife. It is their technology. It avoids snags. See, now I'm in my head. I did it earlier. I should have just kept it going. The trimmer is also waterproof, so you can trim in the shower, the jacuzzi, or in the hospital bed, Kate.
I might. It's getting... I tried the other day.
What do you think your OBGYN would do if you were like, all right, it's time to push, and you're like,
hold on.
I got to do an ad read.
This baby's got you.
We're about to shoot a video. We want to make sure that
he's got a nice haircut on the way out. No,
Might as well use the best tools in the job. This bundle also comes with a crop preserver, which is a ball deodorant. How could you use that, Kate?
A ball deodorant? On Pat. Just...
I thought you were going to say your newborn infant son so he didn't have stinky little nuts.
No.
Jesus Christ.
He never That's will. Terrible. He'll be perfect. This ad.
Toner for your balls. It made the whole soothing aloe and witch hazel extract that would make your balls look up at you and say, thanks. Don't get cold feet this winter. Get 20% off with free shipping with the promo code ZERO at manscaped.com. They also have a ton of other amazing men's hygiene products from their website and disposable mats for your pubes to foot deodorant. They also sent me a cologne that smells phenomenal. You would never think that a nut company... I don't know if they want to be reduced to being a nut company.
No, probably not.
As cologne. But everything that they have is great. You might want to use it at manscaped.com. Use the promo code ZERO. You're going to get 24% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code ZERO. That's Manscaped for making our wieners look good in the wintertime. Let's move on. So what round are we on?
We're on
now?
Round three. Number three. Four. I'm going to make this one quick because we've talked about it before, but it's the F-35, people, is just been this quagmire of a plane. So the U.S. Air Force's top officer, he's saying, hey, I'd like our service to develop an affordable lightweight fighter to replace all our Cold War vintage F-16s and to complement a fleet of small but costly and unreliable stealth fighters that we've got. Well, guess what? We've already been trying to do that with the F-35. A generation ago, we launched the mission to try and create this airplane. But over 20 years, that replacement fighter got heavier and more expensive as the Air Force and Lockheed Martin packed it with more and more new technology. Yes, the F-35, the 25-ton stealth warplane, has become the very problem it set out to solve. And now...
25 tons.
And now we need a new fighter to solve that F-35 problem because we made it too complicated, too whatever. We got carried away. And each plane costs around $100 million.
I like how this article also says, including the engine.
Including the engine. It's stealthy. It is stealthy, and it's brimming with high-tech sensors, but it's maintenance-intensive. It's filled with bugs and not just, like, ladybugs and stuff, and there's actual, like, tech bugs.
That'd be cool. You get in the cockpit, and you're like, what the fuck are all these crickets?
Yeah, what the hell? What the heck? What the hell? And it's on...
Ladybugs?
It's unreliable. A whole generation now, we've been working on this $100 million per plane just to be lightweight and replace the F-16s, and we fucked it. Hence, now they need a new one. Now they're like, well, let's try again after spending trillions with a T of dollars. The F-16s are old as shit, so we don't have enough F-35s, and now the F-16s are like... Old. The 17-ton non-stealthy F-16 is too difficult to upgrade. We can't just send them into the shop and fix them up and make them like brand new because they're just too old. So that's how the F-35 started in the first place. And that program started in the 1990s, people. So did not work out that way. Basically, it's a big thing. And now the Air Force is like, well, let's look for a replacement for the F-16 again. So we're trying all over again. It's just a huge... To me, it's a huge waste of taxpayer money. Kyle, do you agree, or am I reading this the wrong way?
It's like mission creep. You know, you get the good idea fairy just starts shitting all over everybody, and it turns into the F-35, which does really cool shit, but why? Like, the F-22 does a lot of stuff, and... I mean, do we ever really use it? And not really.
They basically said it's kind of like we set out to build like a nice reliable Ford that can come out of the garage and do whatever, and we ended up making like a very fancy Ferrari with like an ice cream machine in the back. We basically pimp my ride at it.
Yeah.
We're like, check this out. We're going to do pimp my ride. And then the car is unusable at the end. You hear these stories. Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that I wish that they had, I want to see the contract to see if there's any type of lemon law. You know, like if you go buy a really shitty car, you bring it out and something goes wrong with it, there's lemon law protection in most states. I wonder if they have that built into the contract because you spend $1.6 trillion and it doesn't work. Who are you going to go to again? Like you have to go to the same companies you're going to fucking... Yeah. Boeing or one of those other companies to build it again.
Yeah. Well, look at the KC-46 aerial refueler stratotanker, whatever the fuck. The government's clawed back a lot of money from Boeing because they built like this Cadillac in the sky to deliver fuel, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Like it's just riddled with problems. And so Boeing's taken a huge hit on that, but I mean, it's not like they're going broke over it. Yeah. They're still doing pretty well for themselves. So
imagine though, this, think about this, whoever the salesman from Lockheed, he's been like top salesman for 20 years because he just keeps shelling out money.
That's a nice commission.
Seriously, this guy's getting the trip to Hawaii every year based on this one contract alone. So good on him.
Drinking a lot of coffee.
Which, in all seriousness, is the backdrop of having like the new Secretary of Defense, Austin. Like having him being on the board of Raytheon, like having all that money, like that it goes out in government contracts, even if he's not involved on the board currently, he still has a shit ton of stocks. Like even during his Senate confirmation, he said that he had anywhere between $500,000 and $1 million worth of stock of Raytheon.
Yeah.
Like you have that much money and then you're the person that's in charge and you can't, like, even though they say, I'm going to recuse myself from negotiation, no, the fuck you're not.
No, you're not. I mean, that's just
like,
human.
You still have to approve
it. Right. And that's just human nature. You can't just all of a sudden take this part of my brain out that knows I have all of this money. And if I make one decision, it's going to make that money grow. And another decision, I'm going to lose something. You can't just not think about that.
It makes me so mad.
Yeah, but I don't know what the answer is, because you're not going to rise that and have the experience where you could be Secretary of Defense without being involved with the big three companies.
Right.
I'll tell you what, it makes me so mad. I want to call them all names.
What do you want to call them?
Well,
some of the worst things that we've ever heard.
Yeah, I would like to. Boy, where could we get a list as such?
Well, luckily, we got a list from Zero Block 30s that we posted it twice last night, in fact. Kyle posted it once, and then I was talking to Kate, and I posted it again. So, what did we talk about, Kate?
Round 4. Round 4, what is the best insult you ever heard in the military? We got a ton of responses on this. Thought we'd read through. The first one I thought was pretty... I actually hated it because I knew Chaps was going to love it. Once Upon a Boot said, a chief on our ship used to have a new nickname for the chubby kid in our division every time he complained. Butter sweats and gravy tears were among the best. I have the butter sweats right now. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's funny.
Yeah. Gravy tears is very good.
To which Chaps immediately replied, you look like a trash bag filled with pancake batter. Every time I see you in uniform, I want to fill out a form to report fraud, waste, and abuse of government funds and time. Yeah, lovely. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Andrew Abundanza. What a great name. He said a first sergeant called someone in their dress uniform a blown-out can of biscuits. I love that one. I do.
Yeah, that was you and your Charlies,
that was,
right?
I immediately thought of me and my Charlies as blown-out. Somebody cracks me on the counter, and I'm like, boom. I'm just... this one's so simple at Razzhole. I got called turbo because I'm not fast.
That stings.
It does.
That stings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run DM Cavana said, being labeled a motivator by your friends, hand down. When you come back from like volunteering for something, your friends are like, oh, okay, motivator. You feel like such a loser. That was really hard.
And it's so fucked up because you should want to excel in your job and do good things in your job and try to get promoted. But everybody else that knows that they're doing 4 years and that's it, they're like, look at this fucking loser.
Yeah. Okay, try hard.
Oh, he cares. Oh, you re-enlisted? Real cool guy. Oh,
cool motivator. Yeah, that does hurt. It really does. Jail Curtis 01 said, I happen to wear really thick glasses, BCGs. We call them birth control glasses. Did me no favors. Yeah, the military glasses are heinous, painfully heinous. Mm. One drill sergeant called me Private Hubble, said I could see farther than the Hubble telescope. Oh, that's adorable.
What is that one? A down periscope, I think, where they have like the goldfish swimming around in the glasses. It's the one with Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. It's not Hot Shots, is it?
Maybe. Might be. Kyle just put his on. Kyle's still his
for you YouTube people that watch on YouTube, these are BCGs. And they're technically indestructible, but they are disgusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still have mine somewhere, too. But they get the job done. Morgan Scott 32 said, you're about as useful as a mesh fucking condom. Mm. A lot of people liked that one. I refuse to believe, Brew 302 said, I refuse to believe you scored higher than your age on the ASVAB. And Vermont Shredder Cheese said, I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. which that's a good one. I like that one right there.
Best one I heard was someone say, I need you to crawl up your battle buddy's ass and have him shit you out because that's all you're worth to me right now. Shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of there was a lot that I didn't put on here for political correctness reasons.
Which yeah, I had a buddy text me something and he says, you won't read this. And I read it and I said, you're right, I sure won't.
Yeah, I definitely won't. Most of the insults, the problem was we got hundreds of responses. Most of them we truly could not put on here. So.
No, I'm sorry.
And that's saying something.
It's saying something.
When we don't say it, like that's, that's really
saying something. Call us
soft. Baby nuts.
Right.
Yeah, call us soft or, you know, whatever. But yeah, we're not getting into those weeds.
So if you want to see it, we'll leave it up on our Instagram and Twitter. So if you want to scroll through some of the more colorful ones, feel free to do that. But for right now, we're going to move on to round number five. This one comes to us from Australia. There is a big, lovely sheep, and this sheep's name is Barack the Sheep. That was good, right?
Beautiful.
That was. You redeemed yourself from that the flub with the ad read before.
I did. Barack the Sheep was found wandering in the Wild West of the Australian forest and was liberated from years' worth of wool, weighing 78 pounds. I had no idea that wool was kind of like toenails, that if you didn't clip it, it keeps going. Like my beard, I think my beard is at terminal length right now. Like I don't think from this point forward it grows any further than that. Like once it gets to a certain length, it kind of stops growing. Apparently, sheep hair is not like that because they show Barack. You'll have to look at it on our social channels or on YouTube if you are just usually a podcast listener. But they said beneath the convoluted moving mass of matted fleece adorned with countless sticks, twigs, and insects was not Australia's answer to the Yeti, but a sheep. So he is absolutely covered. You know what he looks like? He looks like one of those old British judges. Right?
Yes.
Like he's wearing one of those old wigs.
I would also say here in New Jersey, he looks like an enormous pile of dirty snow with a tiny little nose sticking out of it.
Yes.
But they said nearly half the weight of an adult kangaroo was hanging off his body.
That's a bizarre comparison.
It's Australia.
I guess it's because it comes from Australia, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But like the fact that they compare things to kangaroos is...
But I don't know how this sheep survived alone in the woods. I mean, it made his mass so enormous, too. How was he, like, surviving in the fucking Australian wild with that much fur, with, like, nearly 100 pounds of fur on him?
By staying warm.
I guess
it didn't occur to me, though, until we just read it, that he had a bunch of stuff stuck in the fleece. I never even considered that was one of the burdens of having all this sheep hair or fleece, whatever, is that things would get stuck in there.
Yeah.
And then you can't get rid of
them. So it says the sheep was found by a member of the public who contacted Eggers Mission Farm Sanctuary near Lanceville, Victoria, about 60 kilometers north of Melbourne, according to the mission's some dude named Kyle. It would appear Barack was once an owned sheep. He had one time been ear tagged. However, they appeared to have been torn out by a thick matted fleece around his face. The sheep needed to be shorn at least annually. Otherwise, the fleece continues to grow and grow as happened here. Whilst his hooves were in great condition from running over the rocks in the forest, he was in a bad way. He was underweight, and due to all the wool around his face, he could barely see. He is now settling in with other rescued sheep, and he's joining all of them and having a great time. Imagine how great that feels. I mean, this summer when I moved all those cinder blocks from my truck to behind my shed, and then I got to go outside and take, like, I hosed off in the shower, and then I got into my stock tank pool. I felt like $1 million, like just getting in the water. Imagine what it would be like to remove 78 pounds of matted sheep hair and then just have your skin billowing in the wind.
And he looks so handsome, too. He looks so good with his nice little shave.
This is fucked up, but he kind of looks like one of those homeless rescues.
I was going to say, I love the
homeless makeover.
I wasn't going to say homeless makeovers. I was going to just say, I love when you find a stray animal and the videos where they fix the animal up and it's clearly been abused or out in the wild by us. You guys are singing two different songs. Kate's was more appropriate.
I get the song totally wrong. I'm like, hey, little mama, let me whisper in your ear. I got a couple things you might like to hear. Yeah.
When is your biggest glow up? Do you guys remember where you felt like a bag of shit and then you get dressed or you get groomed in a way where you're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm feeling good?
Yeah. The first time I took an actual shower with running water after I was out on a cop for 7 months. Definitely.
Mm.
And I just put my uniform back on. It wasn't like I got dressed up nice. I was just able to take an actual shower and really feel clean for the first time in 7 months.
I would say, I've talked about it before, but when I went to boot camp, I was a rugby player who was obsessed with Marlboro Reds and beer. And I was pretty heavy for my size. Like, you could see, like, people look at pictures of me right before I went in, and they're like, oh my God, you were like a chunkwinkle. Yeah, I was like a size like 9 or 10. And I came...
A chunkwinkle?
A real chunkwinkle. I came out of boot camp a size 0 for the first time in my life. And, like, my hair was super long and healthy. I had quit drinking and smoking. And when I went home on boot leave, I went to, like, all those little, like, what are those stores in the mall, whatever. I bought a bunch of size.
Limited 2.
I went to the limited 2 for 12-year-olds. But I bought these, like, tiny little dresses. I went out to happy hour in Philly with my girlfriends. And I felt like I was the hottest shit on the planet. Like,
what did you guys do with your pocketbooks?
We threw them down and we danced. We just threw them down and we danced, chaps. But I
felt by the way, I had no idea you had a lip ring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had 2. I had lip ring twice. So,
oh, my goodness.
I know. So I was real, real filthy McNasty.
Kyle, did you have a glow up moment?
Mine was pretty similar to Khan's. Like, I went a really long time in 29, like 2.5-3 weeks without a shower in 29 Palms. And it was August and it was fucking hot and we had no air conditioning and it was just sweating nonstop. And when I took a shower, I just felt really great.
Oh, yeah.
It was really great.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's it.
I had those moments. Like, I think everybody in the military has those moments where you have, you're not around a shower where you can't actually shower. I have the opposite of when I have groomed. The last 2 times I've shaved my beard, it was a huge mistake.
Oh.
Yes.
Where normally when you get rid of 78 pounds of matted hair, it makes you look better and feel better. It goes the opposite for me.
When you shaved your beard this last time, because you were up here in New York, you were up here in New York when you did it. You and I went walking for ice cream. You saw the barber shop and you're like, I think I'm going to shave my beard. I said, go for it. When you walked back in the office, I'd say it's one of the top 5 most upsetting moments of my life. I was so upset. I just wasn't prepared. Chaps, you're a handsome guy. There's a picture of young Chaps floating around on the internet right now where you look like an angel, to be honest. But I wasn't ready for it. I never want to see. I'm sorry.
I wasn't either, dude. Like, because the last time I'd
it was
seen,
so bad.
Like, because I did it when I first got out. I grew my hair for a year. I made the promise when I retired from the Marine Corps that I was going to grow my facial hair out for a year. I did that. I shaved it. McCartney cried when I saw my face for the first time. And then this time, I had gone from when I got out of the military, I was like 170. And now at that time, I was like probably 210. So my strong jawline, my cheekbones had all gone away. I just had like a fat, round face. I looked terrible.
It was so upsetting. Yeah. No offense. Like, you looked like a thumb, kind of.
Yeah,
and looked every
awful.
Angle that you got captured at.
At least when you are at your worst looks in a while, at least it's nice to be in the same room with Big Cat and Dave.
Yeah.
Can I say, and anytime, I don't know why this has been on the forefront of my brain, but anytime I look in the mirror and I'm like not really feeling myself, whatever, over the last few years, the first thought I always have is, well, it could be worse. You could look like Dan.
True.
Dan.
Big Cat.
Yeah, Dan. Like, if you haven't seen what Dan looked like when he first started working at Barstool, he was like super into CrossFit and like ripped.
Yeah, 6'3", jet black hair, looking handsome.
Well, when you work 23 hours a day.
He's a handsome.
Yeah, he's a handsome boy.
He's handsome. All right, let's move into save rounds and alibis. Kyle, we'll start with you.
I want to throw in a military insult real quick. That's going to be my save round. We were all in formation, and the platoon sergeant came out. And I'll say his name because there's probably a billion, but Staff Sergeant Gallagher, great Marine, loved him. He had his problems, and we'll see, you know, what one was. But we were standing in formation, and he comes out, and he just starts throwing goldfish crackers at a Marine that we called Snooky. I won't say his real name. Started throwing goldfish. And we're all sitting there like, what the fuck's happening? We're not saying anything because we're in formation. And he's like, pick them up and eat them, Snooky, you fat fuck. You want to eat those, don't you? And we're like, oh, shit. He goes, pick them up because you're a beluga whale and you like fish.
Aww.
And everyone, like, no one could hold their bearing. I think even Gallagher might have cracked a little smile because he knew he got it. I mean, he was fat. He was fat by civilian standards.
You got me. I'm going to eat him. I'm going to eat all these goldfish for sure.
I think he did pick him up. He was hungry because he was always hungry. But good news is in Afghanistan, he lost like 70 pounds. Bad news is he came back, put it all on, got a DUI, tried to run over one of our best friends. Big thing. But, you know.
That'll happen.
It was a whole
thing. It was a whole to do.
At least he got the goldfish crackers.
Yeah, he did. He's always got those. But, yeah, that was the best military insult, I think. And that's all I have.
I like it.
Cons?
Okay, so two quickly. Apparently, Alex still has 500 mint condition Beanie Babies. I don't know what we're going to do with those.
That's like $20.
I know. Yeah. Way to go, dude.
So there we go. So it came out this week. Bruce Springsteen did not get a DWI for consuming alcohol in a public park or a state park. He did get a fine, though, for $540. And the judge, you couldn't hear the words said, but apparently the judge said $540. How long do you think you're going to need to pay that? And Bruce said, I can pay that immediately. Yeah. Like, yeah, no kidding. But anyway, so Bruce Springsteen has a new podcast with former President Barack Obama. There's two episodes out. I listened to it. It was good.
They need to get Barack the Sheep on.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
it's obviously
Barack.
It's obviously very well produced. Interesting topic so far. But my question, real off the top of your head, past presidents and a music counterpart to do a podcast, who do you want to have a podcast next?
Bill Clinton and Marilyn Manson.
Okay, that's one. I would say George W. Bush. George W.
See?
It's not as easy as it looks. George W. Bush and Jay-Z.
I'd like to see Joan Rivers and Jimmy Carter. I feel like the mix of naughty and nice, spicy and sweet. So,
Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, Kanye and W. would be good, too.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go beef. Jimmy Carter and Carly Rae Jepsen. Just
love it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Two people. What about Jimmy Carter and Jimmy Page? The Jimmies.
Who's the fuck? I can't remember his name. Old as fuck. Keith Richards and Jimmy Carter. Just two really old looking dudes just sitting around talking about being old.
Don't get Kate started on Steven Tyler's mouth again.
Oh man.
What'd that mouth do?
That's a plane.
Give me
hanger.
The biggest nacho on the planet. He'll stretch his mouth out and put the whole thing right in there.
If they're stuck together, it's one nacho.
Yeah.
All right, Kate, what about you?
What about Jimmy Carter and Jimmy Buffett? You know?
All right.
I meant like save round.
Yeah, we're not still going with the podcast. But that was a good one. But that was a
I'm
good
like,
one.
I need
too.
More famous Jimmys. how about Jimmy World and Jimmy Buff?
How about Jimmy John? Yeah. The sub guy.
No, nothing. I got another doctor's appointment this afternoon. I have them every week now until I pop this fella out. I went yesterday all the way over to Astoria, Queens. Very long trip. Took me forever to find parking in the snow. It was a nightmare. And I went to check in, and they're like, your appointment's tomorrow. So back again today. Yikes. And then I had to go back through New York City during rush hour to get home. Going to do the same thing again this afternoon, everybody. So I'm really looking forward to that. But totally, totally worth it to blow my taint out soon. Looking forward to it. That's it.
That sounds great. Mine is make sure you check out Barstool Confessions. It's out not only just on YouTube now, it's also a podcast. It's been super fun. I'm doing that with Feidelberg. It's a lot different from this
People
show.
People are loving it, though. Give another quick synopsis of what it is. Because even if you're not religious, it's genuinely very funny.
So if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know, before I joined the Marine Corps, I went to a seminary style of school. I wanted to be a Southern Baptist pastor. So inside my head is a bunch of Bible knowledge that I don't typically get to use. So Feidelberg went to Catholic school growing up, and he knows cursory about the Bible. And I am walking him through some of the more ridiculous stories so far. We've gone through Samson and him killing 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. We've gone through the horniest man alive, the original sex messages, which is King Solomon, who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. We've also gone through the first few verses of Genesis and the creation accounts. So it's just been really fun to see like what's going on. Some of the stories of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah we've talked about as well. The first four episodes are out now. Make sure you go check that out. It's called Barstool Confessions. It's with me and Feidelberg. It's been a super great time. I love doing that one. That's it. Down the retreat. We'll see you back here on Tuesday.